Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
And action. Good morning, Amelia.
Hi, Mitchell.
How's it going?
How are you today?
Good. Can't say I'm well rested.
Why not?
Because I'm not. And yeah.
There you go. You have three children.
Jesus.
And they keep you up sometimes, don't they?
Yep.
How are my little babies?
Oh, they arrive in one at a time throughout the night. I've been doing so for about 10 years. It's good.
You'll be grateful for it eventually.
It is. Just got Ollie out of his nappies at night, which is good. Isn't he took he himself out of his nappies.
I know. He's a cutie patootie.
Yeah, kids.
What's your song today?
Because we are gold. Always believe in your soul. I said it was ABC, but it wasn't. It was a Spandau Ballet, and one of the monkeys, Tash, there, got very annoyed that I said it was
ABC. Well, that you questioned her. I think that's why she got annoyed, that you questioned her ability to pick up who sang that song.
Yeah, she reckons she's like a 1980s queen, which is absolute nonsense. So what are we talking about today, womans?
What are we talking about? Well, I want to talk a little bit about, or I think we need to talk a little bit about, this whole feeling like you might be an imposter, and this whole imposter syndrome, feeling like you could be a fraud and feeling like...
Do you ever feel that?
Yeah, all the time.
How often?
All the time. Well, okay, when I say all the time, I don't mean in every moment. What are you doing?
I just opened a bottle with the thing you're meant to open a bottle with.
Your teeth?
Your teeth.
No, that's not.
Well, it was either that or my belly button.
I would have liked to see you try it on your belly button. Yeah, definitely.
Imposter syndrome. So I didn't know it was a fucking syndrome.
Well,
if it is, well, I've been with it my whole life. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think, I don't know whether it's an actual syndrome, but it's something that we're talking about. The feeling of not feeling good enough, being caught out, feeling like somebody is going to catch you out and make you feel like, or just feeling like you shouldn't be, you know, how have I got myself here in this position?
You know, when I first got onto the speaker circuit, you'll remember this. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really had to deal with was being able to talk to people about the fact that I'd been to prison for drug dealing, you know, and it was so friggin' difficult. It was like it was a progress of slow burn introductions to who I was. Do you know what I mean? And like now, it's just a friggin' story. You know, it's just a friggin' story.
It's only part of who
you are.
It's only
part of who I am. But
happened so long ago.
There was such a large amount of time that I spent worrying about what people would think about me. And it's taken a lot of years to realize it doesn't really matter what people think about you. It matters what you think about you. And we are imposters here, you know. And I think one of the reasons where people feel that they're imposters is because...
Are you saying imposters?
Sorry. I just had some... Pad Thai, and that was a bit of chili just messed with my head. But one of the reasons that I think people feel like they're an imposter is because they're not being themselves, you know, and
not being fully themselves.
Yeah, and the self that they're being. Well, I mean, what does that mean? What does it mean to be fully yourself? What does that mean? You know, to be whole means, you know, is part of why we have life and what the journey is all about. One of the reasons we feel like an imposter is because we haven't learned, is because, you know, we're not being ourselves, right? But the whole journey of life, I think, is to be yourself. Don't you think? Like, the whole journey of why we're here is to discover parts of ourselves and be okay with those parts of ourselves. You know, when I would get on stage, I felt like I was an imposter. Like, I hadn't revealed to everybody, hey, guys, look, here's my journey, you know. I was a drug dealer. I got myself a horrific addiction. I ended up in all sorts of trouble in my life. I went to prison. You know, not being, you know, hiding that meant that I was an imposter. But when I owned up to that part of myself, one of the things that I noticed is that I was praised and reprimanded for it, which is understandable. But I was also it also set a lot of people free. You know, people felt like they could be themselves. And, you know, in our own way, we've all done things in our lives that in the moment we perceive is not good. And I think that what I found was is that in opening up who I was, people loved me more. They were more accepting of me. I just found that they appreciated the courage to be able to do that. And I was more effective to people, I found, when I owned those parts of myself and when I embraced the imposter, you know. And I think embracing the imposter was about holding that part of me that was afraid, and that was afraid of judgment and was afraid of ridicule and all that sort of stuff. And just saying, look, this is going to happen anyway. You know, you're going to be judged. You're going to be ridiculed for what you say. Everybody is in some way. But I think that was a huge change for me, being able to actually, you know, own the imposter. And even sitting here on the other end of the mic, being able to say now, look, I'm an imposter. I teach stuff, but I wouldn't tell everybody. I'd say, do what I say, not what I do. You know, and I think that's...
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think sometimes people get this delusion when we work in this field that, you know, we're constantly working on our personal development. You know, we're constantly doing our work. We're constantly equilibrating things. And you have to understand,
we're human.
I'm a human.
Yep.
I'm a dad. I'm a father. You know, I work my ass off as a father. I work my ass off as a business owner. I work my ass off as an investor. You know, I work my ass off as a friend. I'm not, you know, I've said to people sometimes, you know, I'll have a beer. People are like, oh my God, you drink. I'm like, well, yeah, I'll have a beer. I'll have a few beers. I've no problem with that. I'm not a very good drinker. No. I can't, you outdo me every time. But I think that we have to be ourselves and don't hide part of ourselves.
So basically what you're saying is that people who have that are afraid of a part of themselves that they don't believe they're showing to the world, is that what you're saying?
Well, I think when you don't show a part of yourself to the world, you show a part of yourself that you're not. So there's two things that happen.
Right.
There's the person you show up as that you're not, and the person that you're not showing up as that you are. So I think that that is what imposter syndrome is, that you're showing up as one thing, but in actual fact, you're showing up as happy and positive and everything's good, but in actual fact, you're feeling depressed and a bit lost and like a bit off your journey. And, you know, I think that's...
And you're saying that as soon as you acknowledge that part of you, you free yourself and then you free other people at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we're fucking imposters. I mean, you see it, you battle with it as well.
Yeah, of course.
Teach one thing, you got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
My stuff is on the inside, your stuff is very much on the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. But I remember because, you know, I've struggled with my weight for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I remember you thinking that, who am I to speak to people when this is going on for me, you know, and I really struggled with that. And I remember in 2012, I think it was that the year of our first cruise? I think it was. And I remember speaking to Jack Canfield about it, you know, and I remember asking him specifically about that. And he said something very important to me. He said, what you're doing is you're showing people that you can be flawed and you can still make a difference, you know. And that was very important for me because I felt like in me being who I am, there's a part of me that's not pretending, like because I stand up there and because it's physical and because people see my flaws in a sense and see my battles physically, I'm showing them that you can have that stuff going on but you can still make a difference. Do you know what I mean? And I think that has been important for me over the years. But I think that some people feel like I think sometimes the imposter syndrome comes from people almost not really being clear of how they got where they got to. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how did I get to this position? You know, here I am and I'm earning X amount of money or in charge of X amount of people or I'm being able to achieve this in my life, you know, being able to travel, being able to, you know, get that car I want, the house I want, da da da. And I think that some people don't get what they've done, what they've had to do in order to get to that point.
Yeah.
And they forget that, and that's why they label it as imposter as well. Like, I don't disagree with what you said. I think that when you own up to all of who you are, then I think that you free yourself, you free other people. But I think that also people forget the other things that they had to do in order to get to where they got to. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you've just said, you know, you had to work hard. You had to put parts of your life on hold at times. You had to step out of your comfort zone at times, just as have I. I've had to, you know, for me, leaving teaching was a massive, massive thing. You know, I took a risk there because I didn't know what I was going to go into. I didn't know what was happening next for me in my life. And people look at you and say, oh, you're lucky, or you know, that you get to do what you do. But I'm able to say, no, I worked for that. It just didn't land in my lap. I understand what I did in order to get to that place. But I think sometimes we forget what qualities and characteristics and skills that we needed to be able to get to the place that we are. And that's why we label it as imposter at times.
I kind of get what you're saying, but I don't completely get how that's an imposter.
Because they don't get that, because some of the things, and the reason we're talking about this is people have asked us, you know, how did I get where I'm at? Like, I don't deserve to be here. Like, I don't know how, like, it just happened for me. It was kind of like
Do you know what I mean? So like, they got there and they haven't worked out how they got there.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's a part of it. They haven't acknowledged, apart from not acknowledging part of them that they don't show to the world.
Yeah.
On the other half, it's acknowledging, it's being able to fully acknowledge what they do bring to the world and what they have brought to the table up until this point.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we watch lots of people, you know, I know over the years, you know, like I get lots of people will come to me and say to me, you know, things like question who I am as a person and based on what I do, you know, and, you know, I think a lot of the time we want to make up this false person to meet the unrealistic expectations of the people around us.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, you know, you're trying to be something for someone else. And most of the time you don't really fucking like that person. And, you know, and then when you're doing it for a blank audience and, you know, you're doing it in front of hundreds of people or even thousands of people, you know, it's really quite testing. I think that it takes years to be able to really truly understand more about yourself. And in understanding more about yourself, the more you realize that you don't fucking understand about yourself. Mm. You don't know about yourself. Mm. And that becomes part of the joy of the journey, is learning about what you don't know, that you don't know about who you are, you know? Mm. And so I think that there's levels and stages to being yourself, and part of that is to own the imposter. Mm. You know, the imposter only turns up because they're trying to protect you anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you try to be someone else and that becomes a part of you, which is an actual part of your personality. And that part of your personality is only there because it's trying to protect the vulnerable part of you and trying to help you to, you know, be this person for everybody else that you haven't earned the right to be yet.
Mm.
You know, and that's also what I think imposter syndrome is. And, you know, I watch really, you know, really influential people, you know, have parts of themselves questioned, you know. And when you have those parts of yourself questioned, and when you answer about those parts of yourself, you know, truthfully, you know, and own every part of yourself, you're admired more. Mm. You know, own your flaws. Don't be afraid of them. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, you know, do you take drugs? And I'm like, well, I didn't take drugs today. I didn't take drugs yesterday. I don't know whether I'm going to take drugs tomorrow, but anything can happen.
Mm.
You know, I'm an addict. I'm a fucking 100% an addict. Mm. I know I could end up in a shitty situation, or even a situation where there's a party and a bag of powder's put out on the table. Somebody starts to chop up lines and I just get that part of my brain that goes, do you remember that hit, Mitch, when you first have a line of cocaine, and what goes on inside of your fucking brain, and how suddenly you're like, whoa, and you're like fucking Superman. You know, that's what an addict misses, you know, and I'm always just... one party away or one, you know, one invite away from being in that situation and having to be faced with that. Does that make sense? And then, you know, so I'm asked, will I take drugs in the future? And the truth about it is, I don't know. You know, I don't know whether that's going to happen in the future. I don't know whether I'm going to be in that scenario. But all I can do is try to be myself day to day. And in being myself, am I going to tell you that drugs are bad or that I shouldn't have done drugs or that I that don't do drugs? I'm not going to say that because drugs have been both. You know, in my life, they've been both. And being an addict has its pros and cons. Does that make sense? It has its pros and cons. But it's taken a long time to be able to own up to that part. You know, it's taken, like every now and then, you know, I'll have a smoke of a joint. And one of the reasons I do it, it's like smoking a cigarette. You pick up a cigarette, or you're having a beer and somebody, you know, you go, give us a pull of your smoke. And you smoke the cigarette and you go, fuck, now I can remember why I really can't stand this. Or you take a joint and you have a pull and you think, Jesus, now I remember why I really don't like this stuff because I don't like not being in control or being paranoid. But we do these, sometimes we have to fuck up to learn that we don't want to fuck up anymore or to learn how far we've come from fucking up in our lives.
And I think that if you call, like, I think it's the labelling of the imposter that is it's interesting for me because at the end of the day, you've got to own up to all those parts of yourself. And to me, if you're calling yourself an imposter, it just means you haven't owned up to that part. And to own up to that part doesn't mean that you are, that's all you are. It's just a part of who you are. Does that make sense? So am I fake sometimes? Absolutely. Am I aggressive sometimes? Absolutely. Am I controlling sometimes? Absolutely. It doesn't mean that all I am is those things. It just means that I know that I have those qualities and that I, you know, I have to own those qualities. It's the same with being an imposter. It's like, can I be fake sometimes and can I be a bit of a fraud sometimes? Well, yeah, I can, but that doesn't mean that's all of who I am. Do you know what I mean? And I think that when you are labeling yourself as that, you're just not owning up to, you're just seeing that as the main thing of who you are. You're not seeing everything else that makes you. You know, you're not seeing your kindness, your compassion, your dedication to your work. You're not seeing all of those other parts. You're only just focusing on that for whatever reason. You know,
but also, I think the reason we become an imposter is through fear of rejection as well. Does that make sense? Like we fear being rejected by someone. We fear.
So then we become this other person that we think that they're going to like.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because we think it's popular to them.
Yeah.
So then what happens is that we subconsciously beat ourselves up and have a go at ourselves and ridicule ourselves and slam ourselves and you know.
Well, because it's a cycle, right? Because if you do that for person A, well, then you've got to do it for person A, B, and person B wants somebody different. And then you've got to do it for person C and they want somebody different. So therefore you're adjusting who you are to match the people around you and you can't keep that up forever.
And then you lose yourself.
And then you lose
but
yourself.
But I found after, now that I look back on it through the times that I was doing that, the audience that I was trying to be something else for was much smaller than the audience that I didn't need to be. Yeah, I didn't need to be. I wasn't being truly being myself for. And when I stop and look at the audience that if I own all of myself and go, yeah, I've partied and I've done all these things in my life, I found that so had everybody else. And the people that I was trying not to be that for were actually a small portion. And they were pretending not to have done everything. But everybody's partied. Everybody's had a good time. Everybody's done things that they haven't wanted to do you know, that they regret. Or everybody's done things that they don't regret but they don't want to let people know that they don't regret it because they had such a fucking good time doing it. Do you know what I mean? And so I think, you know, there's a great weight in not, you know, ultimately you want to get yourself to a point where you will gladly broadcast to the world all of your deepest, darkest secrets, everything that you've ever hidden from the world. And I think that that's when you're no longer an imposter, you know, that you can, somebody asks you a question, you can really answer it truthfully. You know, how are you actually handling your addiction? Yeah. How are you handling things? And really go, this is how I'm actually handling it. I'm not handling it at the moment. You know, I'm a bit all over the place at the moment. That's, and that takes a great levels of, courage and tenacity, and that's what we're loved for. You know, we're loved for our courage and our tenacity and our balls, as opposed to being loved for
not having it all together.
Yeah, pretending that we have it all together because no one has it all together. Yeah, like it absolutely, I'll fucking put you in front of someone that you think that motherfucker has it all together. And I'm telling you, every single time, there's always an area where they have got it somewhat together.
Yeah.
And to the same degree, there's an, like in business and in work, they might be like all over it. You look at like Elon Musk, you know, all over it. In business, this guy is one of the greatest minds that will have ever lived within our time. The greatest innovators, not just thinking things, but actually applying them and making them happen. Where turning absolute original thought into, you know, in the face of adversity, you know, becoming innovative and creative, you know, when most people would say, why would you even bother your arse trying to go to Mars? Why would you do that? No, I'm going to go to Mars. You know, but when it comes to family, you know, he gives his wife 10 hours a week. That's it. That's what family gets, 10 hours a week. And I don't know what happens within that time period, but I would say he's definitely stronger in his business than he is in his family and connection. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we can't look at people and just say they've got it together because no one has.
No one has.
But that was a great quote. I think it was Anthony Hopkins who said something like, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something like, I'm afraid that one day someone's going to find out that I actually can't act.
Yeah, he was asked, what's your greatest fear? Yeah. And he said, my deepest, darkest and greatest fear is that one day the world's going to find out that I'm actually not a very good actor.
Mm. Anthony Hopkins.
Love Anthony Hopkins. and I think that's what makes him a great actor.
Mm, that he's able to admit that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he's also able to work with his dark side really well, you know.
Yeah.
When we think about it, we have things that we value and we portray to the world, but we also have fucking shadow values, parts of ourselves that we don't want the world to know about. You know, the part of you that's controlling, but you fucking need to be controlling. Mm. The part of you that's manipulative, but you need to manipulate. Mm. You know, there's those parts of ourselves that pure intention require us to be able to be to achieve our pure intention. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, you don't just get your outcomes by being, like, if you think that Elon Musk is not fucking manipulative and sneaky and all those things, he is.
Mm.
He has to be. Mm. He's dealing at the higher end of town.
So what do you think would be the one thing that people would need to do in order to feel like they could deal with this part of themselves that's an imposter?
Well, I think that I think ask yourself who you're trying to be someone else for.
Mm.
And get really clear how that's, you know, write down 50 ways in which that's a disservice to you and a disservice to them.
Mm.
And then ask yourself, okay, how would it be of benefit to you and of benefit to them if you were yourself?
Just yourself. So I think then the first step would be just to figure out what part of you don't want to show to the world, because in terms of being an imposter, that's probably the key, is understanding what part of me am I not showing to the world, because that's where I'm being an imposter, that I'm not showing and not being all of myself.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. Cool.
Cool. All right.
Lovely chatting
later
with you.
Innit? Mm. Yeah, that was me being someone else.
I know, I saw it. I could feel that. I heard it as well.
It's for the audience that really likes me to be English.
Who's that? Two people?
Yes.
Yeah. You just were trying to be someone else for them.
That's right.
Absolutely. Those two people really needed that.
I know.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.